hydraulic aspect of limestone. Limestone is a composite. It's a stone that's created basically by the weight of material above it pressing on it, so that it's not like basalt, or it's not like granite, which is not a conglomerate. They're stones that come from a volcanic kind of source. So the stones that are in the limestone family are porous because they are created by pressure. So there are holes in them, and it's into those holes that water seeps from above, and it holds it. And so when you apply heat to it, the water turns to steam. If you go to a lime factory, you know, in this part of the world, we use whitewash. Whitewash is simply limestone that has been heated to a high temperature, and it becomes like a paint, like a dust. And you add water to it, and that becomes the color you put on your wall, or the paint you put on your wall. So that the idea of burning the temple was in many ways a very ingenious idea, and probably could only have been thought of by people who were sophisticated in Roman technology at the time. All right, so you walked up those first set of stairs and you came in and you thought, oh my God, what is this? It is a water channel. It was probably created, dug through the bedrock of Jerusalem by Shimon, who was the last of the Maccabean kings, Simon. He was a great king. He built Jerusalem to an extent that had not been seen up till that time. Even though later Herod thought that it was a pretty paltry city, what he did here was amazing. He built buildings, public buildings. He made water reservoirs. He made streets. He created public buildings. He was just an amazing king. Now, why was he so concerned about water? Because we have a lack of natural water. We have the Gihon Spring, which you probably met when you went to the city of David. We have the spring of Ein Rogel, which is not far from there, but not a big water source. So we don't have enough. And if you want to build the city into a capital, a religious center, you need more water. So they began the system of water aqueducts that came from the Hebron Hills. Herod, in fact, raised it to a new height. There were aqueducts everywhere, built in the Roman manner. But before that, Simon dug these water channels, and he put in retaining pools. And if you just look at this in my hand, you can see the idea. When we come out, we're going to be in further north in the city. At the very northern point, which was the highest, the water would hit the ground and begin to go down the slope. Rather than let it go down the slope and evaporate, they built a series of retention pools. That first set of pools would spill over into the next set, and we found the remains of parts of the first set. The second set is what we call the Struthian pools, or the swallows pools, the sparrows pools. They were very large. They were not deep, they were shallow, but they were large enough to catch the spill off from the first catchment. And that would go underneath where we are into that water channel, and it would go all the way down, mixed with water that came out of the stones themselves during the dry period, and that would go to that place, that catchment basin next to the Herodian street, and the people like you and I would be able to get a drink all the way along the line. You didn't walk in the water channel. The street is above us. You walk down the street, but there were openings periodically, and you knew that there was water under you. In fact, if you looked up in the tunnel, how many of you looked up? You might have seen the stone paving from the street above. They're still there. They're covered, of course, now by modern Jerusalem paving, but they're there. So we have come to the end, and it's here that I have to say a few words about the second encounter with the local population, which occurred the night that Yom Kippur was over, I believe in 1985. Bibi Netanyahu was the prime minister at that time in his first term of office, and there had been a very, very big push, maybe it was a little later, to open this end of the tunnel. It was closer to 1990, mm-hmm. actually. And it was here, and they couldn't open it to the public because there was no way to get out. Not like that young man who took his tour group back. They wanted people to go out. And so they negotiated with the people who lived upstairs. Perhaps you saw a stairway going up. That was the original negotiation. That man got cold feet at the last minute. He didn't want the tourists coming in. He was afraid that his neighbor would not be very welcoming. Whatever the case, it didn't work. Some years later, Netanyahu was pushed to power by his political allies to do something. And so rather than talk to the Muslim Waqf, which is the authority that deals with this area, and trying to make some understanding, in the same way that I said the status quo could be moved a little if everybody agreed, he blasted a hole through at 10 o'clock at night. And that hole led to the death of some 80 people, unfortunately, in the weeks that followed. And it was 1991. It triggered the first intifada. It was a terrible, terrible confrontation between the local population. Because we have four corners, Armenian, Christian, Muslim, and Jewish, and the status quo applies to all of them. And what he had done was to breach the status quo without any negotiation. And it ended a very beautiful period of some 20 years, 25 years, in which we could do archaeology freely all over the city. And since that time, it becomes problematic. The digging, whatever. Obviously, it eventually died down, and that's why we can now go up the stairs and come out on the Via Dolorosa. And I wish you all a wonderful trip. I hope you have a great time. I want you to take very good care of our little cousin. I want you to come back. He'll come and help me celebrate my next Christmas. You haven't taken out your whip yet. You haven't taken out your whip yet.
No. He's put it away just for now.